What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 5 of Inside the Pocket. This week we're going to be going over NFL fantasy football projections, some other stories, recapping the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, some conspiracy theories, what we would do if we were president, and as always, our wild stories of the week, and a beer review. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Inside the Pocket. Let's go. I am your host, Austin Robinson, and with me, as always, Gavin Robinson.
What's up?
We're going to go ahead and just jump right into it. Let me let you guys know that we're drinking O'Fallon STL Reds. We will give you that review at the end, brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill. But, Gavin, what did you do this week?
Well, I've had an interesting week so far. Working at this job, kind of in the ghetto.
Safe.
Like, really, not kind of, it's bad. It's like, you're in an area where people die all the time, so it's pretty sketchy, and I usually get to work real early in the morning so I can get back, listen to my podcast, chill before I go into work. And we pull up Tuesday to the job site, and I look over, and there's just two homeless people fucking.
Oh, yeah?
And it wasn't an appealing sight. Not like, okay, let's fucking go. It was just two terrible-looking people. And the apprentice that pulled up, he actually pointed out. He came up, he was like, yo, did you see those fucking people over there? And I was like, yeah, I fucking saw them and just pulled around the block. So, like, I didn't have to look at them anymore. And he was like, yeah, all the parking spaces were pretty much taken. So I just had to sit there. And he said when they were, like, done, they just kind of got up and stared at him the whole time and put their shitty clothes on and just walked into the alley.
Was it Dirty Joe and the Boys?
No, it was fucking, it was like Skinny Joe and fucking Big Mama just trying to
make some. Do you get the reference?
No.
From the other guys, when they always fucking in Will Ferrell's car and it's Dirty Joe and the Boys?
No.
You haven't seen the other guys?
I don't think so.
Oh my god, that's a classic. We gotta watch that.
Is it really a classic movie?
Yes. I mean, it's not because it's not old enough, but it's a funny fucking movie. Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. And I'll break it down.
Wait a minute. I have seen that movie.
When they find his car and the cops are like, we found, like, excrement of semen in your car. And he's like, what? And he goes, and we found this note, and it's from Dirty Joe and the Boys. Thanks for the room for the night. So it's, like, a group of homeless people who find unlocked cars and have orgies in them. And then leave.
I don't remember that part, but that may have been one of those guys from that fucking crew, because apparently it wasn't very appealing. Other than that, we got some news you were telling me earlier that we might possibly have a new sponsor. Can't talk too much on it now because it's still just in the works, but we are getting some new sets of shirts, so that'll be cool. You can pick them up at Brew House at the corner of N and Highway K. Not Brew House. Barrel's Tap House.
There you go.
And be sure and check that out. I don't know how much they're going to be just yet, but if you guys want to support us and support an awesome bar ran by awesome people, be sure and go in there and look for one of our shirts.
Come in next weekend to Barrel's for their re-grand opening.
That's where we're going to be. We'll be interviewing Cam Jansen, former Blues player. They're going to have probably some games, giveaways, all kinds of cool shit, so be sure and come down there.
There's going to be some live music.
Oh, yeah. Any big things happen this week for you?
Big things, no. I had a pretty standard week. Just doing my running and taking care of my dog. I do have one thing. My dog, I found out, cannot be sick. Because you know the, like, tattoo goose stuff that you rub on your arms and stuff?
I hate that shit.
I had two canisters of it that were always sitting in the kitchen. And last night, when I went to bed, I woke up this morning and both those canisters were ripped open on the ground. With none of the jelly inside of it. There's no way that's safe to eat. And Cambria, completely fine. She didn't, like, get diarrhea. She didn't get sick.
She's loaded up with tumors.
Yeah, ooh, probably.
Well, she probably just has massive tattoo goo fucking tumors in her belly.
I need to go get her checked out.
I'd maybe at least just be like, yo, she ate some fucked up shit.
Nah, she'll be all right.
Okay. I had a pretty cool message that came to me through my Instagram the other day.
What was that?
It was an old buddy of mine from the Halo days who is now doing some pretty cool, like, dubstep club music type stuff.
Can we use his name?
I'm not going to right now, just in case.
Okay.
Whatever. But once I do the album art, maybe in the next couple weeks or something, if it does happen, I'll be able to talk about it a little bit. But he hit me up. I've been doing, like, photo edits since I got my MacBook. Also, I'm posting them on Instagram, and I actually revamped my Twitter, and I'm going to post some of them on there as well, as well as just talking about the podcast and other shit.
Uh-huh.
But he messaged me and said he wanted me to make his album art for his new album that he's getting ready to make. So that's pretty exciting. I'll get to do that. That'll be a new experience. And,
man, I'm proud of you.
I know. I think so.
No, I'm happy you're getting that done. You've been working on it for a little
bit. I have. I've been doing that. And I actually was on a stream the other day with a buddy I hadn't talked to in a while, and he's a photographer. And, I was like, hey man, it's been a while. We were talking, and I told him how I was doing the edits. He went and looked at him. He's like, holy shit, I could never do any of this. How long have you done this? I was like, oh, maybe 6 months. He's like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
And so I've learned a lot, you know, doing it, and it's been pretty fun. But something else that's been really fun is this new PUBG event. I know you're still on Xbox, which sucks. You need to get a PC. But
yeah.
The new event on PC is pretty fucking banger. Me and some buddies will be playing it tonight and tomorrow. We will probably be putting together a little highlight clip of all clips we get during the event. So I might share that on our, I'm going to try to get us an actual Twitter made. I might put that on our Instagram and our Facebook or something like that for people to check out. Any other stories?
I have some NFL news we could get into.
Well, then I guess we will just jump right into our fantasy football / NHL story, since fantasy football isn't really going right now, but we will cover some projections. But why don't you take this and get it started?
Mine's actually going to be kind of heartfelt real quick. I just want to get it out there that Texans DB Andre Hall was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He's going to be out for the season. I just wanted to get it out there so more people can hear about it. The team's rallying around him. I believe they're going to have his number and his name stickered onto the back of their helmets. Just keep your eyes open, seeing anything about him this year.
So teams that usually have something to play for tend to go pretty far whenever there's like a tragedy or something that brings the team together. There's definitely a long history of teams rising up when bad situations like that come. So not that you want to be like, okay, we got...
Now that we have situation. This guy, good things are going to happen to us.
But, you know, best of them. You hate to hear about any player having that kind of thing happen, let alone anybody. And so hopefully he can overcome that.
We've been seeing people come back. I mean, look at Eric Berry. He had cancer. He came back the next season, had a pretty decent season, made it to the Pro Bowl again.
Look at Daniel Bryan, WWE.
There
Said
you go.
He was out for his career. He's doing big things now.
Yeah, doing flips and shit.
So my story, first off in the NFL stuff, will be the Tennessee Titans have had a pretty cool bonding experiment that they've been doing. They've been playing a real-life version of Fortnite. I'm going to call it PUBG because I don't really fucking like Fortnite. Never played it, but looks fucking stupid.
Sounds more like PUBG because...
Yeah.
From what I've been reading.
And it actually kind of sounds like this new game that's coming out called Royale Clash or something like that. But it's basically like World of Warcraft Battle Arena. Oh. And there's like 5 different classes you can pick from. And then it's a battle arena like that. And there's like melee stuff. It looked pretty cool. I watched some streams. But anyways, so they're playing a real life version of this. ESPN posted this story. They got pictures of there, some of the guys. But basically, they're playing a real-life version of like a battlegrounds game. The rules, each team has 2 members, 1 offensive player, 1 defender. The game cannot be played inside the team facility. So when they're actually at practice, you know, they're doing work. This is something to just kind of help players bond together outside of it. But on the days that they're practicing, their curfew 7:30, which is fucking crazy to me. But on days where they don't have practice or they don't have a curfew or anything, all the players are carrying around Nerf swords at all times, and that's what they can do to like take each other out or defend each other. and they're calling it tagging, so you don't have a bunch of dudes running around the streets being like, yo, I'm gonna kill that ass.
I have a pretty, like, kind of similar story. When I was in high school, we used to have to get, like, those parking tags. Yeah. Remember that? So do you remember when I had those two Nerf swords in the back of my trunk of my Saturn? Do you know why I had those in my Saturn? I would go up to the first parking spot every day, or if that was gone, I would go to another one. I would wait for whoever's parking spot that was to get there, and I'd throw them a foam sword, and I'd make them duel me for their spot. If they lost, they took my parking spot all the way to the back of the parking lot.
I would have just said, or you can go fuck yourself.
No, it was a fun way to kick off the morning. They enjoyed it.
But this is, I guess, a bonding experiment that they're trying. All the players seem to really love it. They said that they thought it'd be a good opportunity for players to get to know each other. They made some kind of interesting matchups. They got the quarterback, Marcus Mariota, lined up with linebacker Derek Morgan. Running back Derrick Henry had cornerback Logan Ryan for a teammate, and tight end Delanie Walker teamed up with cornerback Adoree Jackson. I know there must have been, I believe they did it with the whole team, but those are just some of the notable matchups that they had. And so they would basically have to have pictures or video evidence when they did it, and when guys would be like out at the bar or something, or at the airport, or even some of them would like go hide out at the other guy's house and wait for him to get up in the morning and get him. And they would take a picture or something, and then when they got to practice, they'd just have to put a sticker that said RIP over their locker to kind of signify that they were out. And I guess they'll have a prize for the winner on the team, but it's kind of just like a bragging rights type deal. But it seemed like a pretty cool idea, I thought, for like a team bonding experience.
No, that's a good move for them to get for like, because you got the new guys coming in, and you're going to have like your older veteran dudes who are real serious trying to cut it loose with the younger young bucks doing shit in the locker room. It's going to bring them all together. You got offensive people who normally only work with offensive people paired up with defensive people who normally only work with the defensive people. So you're going to, I think they're going to have a lot more close-knit type of situation playing a game like this.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's basically kind of like tag in a sense, but it's just, you know, you're out once you get hit. But these battleground games that are really popular right now has created a lot of ideas, and I've seen a lot of people gaming. I used to play tons of Halo, even competitively back in the day, and a lot of people are saying these new battleground games that are out are the first ones in a long time that really help bring back that teamwork and late night experience of you just gaming with the boys all night and stuff and just grinding. But I can't think, can you think of any other game ideas that you could do, like a real life scenario that would be a good team bonding experience? I mean, the Battlegrounds game is almost perfect for it.
Do you mean like to do in real life, or are you talking about a designed video game?
No, like doing, taking a concept and turning it into a real life application. I mean, the Battlegrounds game is a pretty perfect scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do, like, paintball or laser tag. Or
Well, those are already things that are real,
and they're kind of hectic, but this is just kind of like a fun little thing that you could do.
No, yeah. And the way they did it was smart. Like, how they're not going and getting guns and going after each other, but, like, how subtle it is. But the idea of group of two, last one standing, that's who wins.
Yeah. Pretty dope. Do you have any other NFL stories that you were wanting to cover?
I do. Did you hear that T.O. is not going to the Hall of Fame?
I did hear that.
Inductions?
Yep.
Did you also know that T.O. said he's ready to play for the 49ers again?
I did. I actually listened to him do an interview not long ago where he said he's pretty much ready. The interview I heard said, you know, he's not at the point anymore where he could go to some team that has no chance and like change the whole team, but he'd definitely be one of those players where if you had a team that was just one receiver away or that one playmaker away from being a playoff contending or a Super Bowl contending team, he could definitely be that addition that could put a team over the top.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's not going to be quite the threat he used to be, even though he claims he is. He says he's not quite fast enough like he used to be, and not as strong enough, but he said he's still as smart and as talented as he was. He said that that's what his impact would be. He said, I'd teach everybody what they needed to know. I'll be a third or fourth string guy. Put me in there when you need someone to make a play. That's when I'll be doing stuff.
And you get a name like that on a team, you know it's going to sell merchandise.
Especially since he's on the ballot for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So he could be the first player ever to get inducted in the Hall of Fame, then go play in the NFL.
That'd be a pretty cool thing.
It would be pretty wild. They even asked some
first Hall of Famer to win a Super Bowl, possibly after being inducted. And winning a Super Bowl after that.
That would be pretty wild. That'd be a good storyline.
It would be here's the storyline. What's going to happen? He's not going to get into the Hall of Fame. He's going to come back into the NFL and then win a Super Bowl and be like,
then go in the Hall of Fame, motherfuckers. Especially on the 49ers.
So let me ask you this, because this is his third time, right? And you're only allowed to be.
I think you're allowed to be in there five.
Oh, you can have five attempts?
I believe so.
Okay. So I thought it was three, and I was going to say, if you come back after that, does that kind of count as a new career deal to where he could possibly get another vote after that?
That's a good idea. I'm not certain.
You know, because the previous votes don't account for the accomplishments that he made on the field post.
Right. But, I mean, it'd be like one or two seasons to try and get a Hall of Fame career.
But still, if he joined a team, like if he joined the 49ers or say the Eagles were like, we'll bring you in, and he wins a Super Bowl, and then they're like, oh, maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah. I did think it was neat when they were questioning it. They were like, do you even think, like, if you win the Hall of Fame, is there anything, like, not win the Hall of Fame, but get inducted in the Hall of Fame, is there anything against going back into the league? And they were like, no, he can do whatever he wants. Yeah. He's still applicable. Did I say that right? Applicable?
I don't care.
All right, okay.
So that was pretty interesting. It was a good interview that he had. I believe he did that with, did he do that with Pardon My Take?
I don't know.
I think I heard
I actually read it on it on NFL.com.
Yeah.
I listen to Pardon My Take. I know he was on Pat McAfee's show like a week ago.
That's where it was okay. On the Pat McAfee show. And that's where he was talking, so. Because I know he was saying something about Julio Jones or something, and then Pat was like, yo, ask him why he shook me so hard in that game or something.
Yeah.
And so my next thing I wanted to go over, so I really can't wait for us to actually officially launch the podcast, be talking some fantasy football. You know, now that the NHL is over, I feel like my life has almost no meaning left because there's no NFL, no NHL.
I feel that
I'm literally just playing video games and waiting for football to come back.
I turned on my TV today, and I looked through the listings for sports. And not only that, I was going to resort to the NBA. But it's also over. I have nothing.
We have baseball, and I will admit, I enjoy going to Cardinals games here in St. Louis, but I cannot sit there and watch baseball on the TV.
Not on television. I can go to a game and enjoy myself, but sitting there watching TV, I just ask if I'm alive.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. So, wanting to get some of those conversations started, I found ESPN released their top 192 players that should be drafted in fantasy football. This is kind of an overall list of players that they think will be in most leagues. You know, it'll definitely depend between if you're anything from an 8-man league to a 16-man huge league or anything like that. All just depends.
32-man league.
That would be pretty nuts.
That would be actually really cool.
Everybody have basically a real legitimate team.
You'd have players making like 2 points a game.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
And you would really have to be studying your like
third and people. Yeah, your third and fourth lines of receivers and
running. But we're not going to go over all 192, obviously, but we were going to kind of look at this list. I got it up here, and I was going to kind of mention some of the people they have there and maybe some opinions that we would have moving some people around. I kind of agree with their top three. I bet you probably would too, as far as Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, and David Johnson. Now, I know we talked about in a previous podcast where we were talking about who we predicted an early injury would be, and look who's up there with the two guys that have previously had big injuries, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, and David Johnson. Last year,
David Johnson went out,
and it was actually our league. We met up at a bar, and the rules for our league that year was the first one to show up would get the first pick, and I ended up showing up second, so I ended up getting the second pick. I asked the guy who ended up getting the first pick who he was going to take. He said he was pretty much set on David Johnson, and even right as the draft started, I asked him, I was like, yo, you sure you don't want Le'Veon Bell? And he was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So he takes David Johnson and gets his own dick sucked after that because he goes right out.
Well, was it week one or was it week three?
Week three sounds right, but I almost think it was like earlier than that.
It might have been earlier. For some reason, week three's in my head.
But it jacked up his
Week three is when Odell went out.
Yeah, week three was when Odell went out. I almost thought David went out, like, in a little bit of a preseason game or something. Maybe it was week one, though.
I might have to look.
But it was super early. He basically didn't play the whole season. And so, ex facto, I got the first pick and did pretty good. But I feel like this year, you know, I would be interested in going after Gurley. I just feel like I might be cursing him right now. I might be starting this.
Yeah, you might.
Todd Gurley.
Let's not give you the curse power yet. Let's wait and see.
I think Todd Gurley is going to get hurt this year.
I know. We talked about it. Let's see if he
But
does.
I might pick him. So then it would be like, you know, I'm taking responsibility for my curse.
That's such a poor play.
So I'm taking responsibility for my
actions.
I think
he's going to get hurt, but I'm picking you number one, boy.
I'm taking number one.
Because if I'm going to be wrong, you're going to do good for me.
I don't know if I'd take Todd Gurley number one, honestly. I still think... I don't know. He's up there, though. Antonio Brown's definitely up there. Is this somebody that you would take first overall if you end up getting first pick? I know you're a big wide receiver first kind of guy.
I am a big wide receiver first kind of guy. He's always in the running of who I'm going to choose from. It's always up in the air for me between all the people that you have possibly for your few, like, number ones. Even though Julio Jones had an offseason last year, Julio's someone who puts up numbers normally. You got Odell Beckham Jr. who puts up them. You got Keenan Allen. Then you have, I'm trying to think of his name, on the Buccaneers, number 13, Mike Evans. You have him. He's a good guy who puts up numbers. A.J. Green, another guy who puts up numbers.
Now, I'll mention him right now because of where he is this year. You took Odell first last year,
I
right?
did,
With
yes.
what pick?
My number one.
Yeah, it but
was
which were
number
were
three.
Number three overall, you took Odell. He's listed at number 10 this year. Do you think that's a fair placing for him? Or, you know, would you still maybe take him first pick?
I would definitely consider taking him first pick. I probably won't this year since he got hurt last year, and I'm a big, like, follow-up on what you did guy. So, like, he came in, he got
Although
hurt,
he's coming
he
back,
out.
He has been working out, he's trying to get some more money.
Yeah, but he did that last year, too. So,
but he was hurt, he couldn't.
I know, that. But before the season, he was working out, showing all of his videos how fucking good he was, and then he got hurt. I'm unimpressed. Put it on the field, do good, stay healthy. He stays healthy for it. I might pick him up if people don't. Like, if it gets to the second round and he's there, I'm taking him. He's not my first-round pick.
Okay. Well, what they have on here after Antonio Brown for number four, number five is Ezekiel Elliott, DeAndre Hopkins at number six, Shaquan Barkley at number seven, and Alvin Kamara at number eight. Now, I like these ones up here a lot. All these guys are very good players. I'm personally am a running back first and second for me. I always go for the running backs. You know, I think Shaquan Barkley has a chance to have a breakout year. He's interested. There are so many good running backs right now
in
this
league.
I'm a big
not rookie drafter. I think I've told you that.
Yeah, and
I
agree with that too.
I don't like to draft rookies, even though I've been proven wrong with Ezekiel Elliott, who came out and had a fantastic rookie season. Dak Prescott, even though he wasn't the starter originally, but he came out and had a wonderful season. There's people like the Eagles quarterback, Carson Wentz, fantastic rookie year for a rookie. And I'm just not big on drafting rookie guys, so I probably wouldn't even look at Shaquan Barkley.
Now, this Alvin Kamara at number eight, we have a small league. We have just an eight-man league that we personally do. So we usually have pretty stacked teams.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if I would take Kamara number eight when you have some of these other names on this list. Julio Jones at number nine, ODB at 10. You know, you got some other people on this list that are very impressive.
McCoy at 18.
Yeah, but if I get there, I'm also a big Devonta Freeman guy, but he's all the way down at number 20 this year, so I might be able to pick him up second round possibly. And since I am the only problem is, so many teams now, and both these players fall into that, double running back schemes. So you have Atlanta with Freeman and Coleman, and then you have New Orleans with Kamara and Ingram. And so many other teams, Jacksonville has a similar thing. They have three fucking running backs. But
yeah.
The problem would be, you know, I would consider taking Kamara if I get a late pick, 7 or 8. I would definitely consider taking Kamara with that pick and then trying to pick up Devonta Freeman with my next pick, especially since I'm a Falcons fan. I get a little bit of heart in there, too.
Right.
But The thing that worries me is you're taking two running backs from a team that splits the load. And so it's one of those things. Do you take Kamara and then go for Ingram later in the round? Or do you go ahead and bite the bullet on somebody like Devonta Freeman? Or, you know, what you could also possibly do is some, because somebody like Ingram could also go early, but they might be later. That might be somebody where you pick up Kamara and Freeman, and then later on I could pick up Coleman or Ingram to play that flex.
Yeah, the play would be almost get one of the starters on one and the backup for the other. Like, if you ended up getting Kamara, go get Coleman. That's your guy to go for, because Freeman's probably going to be taken.
Not necessarily, though. So if I take, and he might be, but...
Now you got to think of an eight-man league.
Yeah, we are playing in an eight-man league. So if I take Kamara at number 8, and then Freeman's listed all the way at 20, technically he's still on the board for me if things went according to the way this is ranked.
Right.
Now, I'm sure they won't go 100% according to how this is ranked, but there is still a big viable option. I mean, like I said, when you're thinking there's going to be people that like to take gambles right now, you definitely have the Christian McCaffrey, LeSean McCoy, Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, Devlin Cook.
That's someone I'm excited for, is Melvin Gordon.
And so you got a lot of people, running backs up there, on top of other people that might be interested in reaching down and picking up some of these other wide receivers early so they don't get taken off the board. You have Gronk, a tight end that's always going to go kind of early based on how well he plays. You know, he's possibly going to be there for me, so that'll be a decision I have to make. The number 9 through number 23 is where things are very, you know, it's going to be, you're basically getting 2 first-round picks this year, it feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many superstars right now. Between 9 and 23, you got Julio Jones, ODB, Keenan Allen, Kareem Hunt, Dalvin Cook, Michael Thomas, Melvin Gordon, Leonard Fournette, A.J. Green, LeSean McCoy, Christian McCaffrey, Devonta Freeman, Devonta Adams, Rob Gronkowski, and Mike Evans. Now, that is a stacked set of people.
I'm a little impressed, because a lot of those names at the wide receiver there are all people I called out just a second ago.
Yeah, and so you're going to have... I feel like the running back spot is definitely has a lot of that first round urgency with so many good wide receiver or running backs out there, but then also people are going to be nervous about getting a hold of some of those good wide receivers before they get taken off the table.
It's so funny, since the NFL is a passing league, we've talked about this on prior ones, how the running game is starting to become more emulate because they're so focused on the past, or on the past, not past. I think it's funny that it's such a pass league. You'd think the receivers and the quarterbacks would be like the top tier of what you're wanting to pick, but not just you, but a lot of people are running back first picks. And I think that's because of the scarcity of you're seeing teams using running backs. So there's like names that are blatant are going to get points. But I think here in the next few years, with the split back situation and how they're opening up the defense, making it harder for them to tackle, you're going to be seeing, it's going to be offensive game all the time. Like, the running and passing is just going to start blowing up. Soon you're going to see the average scores are going to be, like, 35-42.
Especially with how hard they're making it to defend
what That's what I'm saying. You're going to see much... Bold prediction. This year, in the 2018 season, is going to be the highest average points per game in history.
2018. You heard it here first. An unpublished podcast is making this bold prediction, and if anybody hears it anywhere else, you be sure and let them know who said it first.
Yeah.
Today is Saturday at 6:30 p.m. on June 9th, 2018. You're going to hear this probably on June 10th or whenever the fuck you decide to listen to it, because we're not even actually publishing these right now. So if you are listening to it, you are a special person to us, and we thank you. But going into the next round of people... And I really liked this set of people right here. These are the people that I would typically like to reach for, because they're those people that have big breakout potential, but they're either getting a little older in their career or they have somebody that's just a little bit higher up than them, but all of them are still big names. You got Adam Thielen, Larry Fitzgerald, Tariq Hill, T.Y. Hilton, Doug Baldwin, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, Demaryius Thomas, Stephon Diggs, Allen Robinson, Golden Tate, and Josh Gordon.
Let me interrupt real quick. You said it's because they're up in their years or there's somebody ahead of them. Let me go ahead and add something to that. For there are people up there like that, but I also believe it's people who don't have the necessities on their team to give them the seasons they should have. You have people like Tyreek Hill, star. He is going to be a star. But he's probably so low because they just got rid of their quarterback. They got that he was a rookie last year coming in. I can't think of his name right now.
I would be able to think of it, but I definitely can't right now. Kansas City.
Yeah, it's whatever. But then you got people like T.Y. Hilton. They're all curious about what he's going to do because Andrew Luck's been in and out. They don't know if he's going to have a consistent quarterback all season. They don't know.
Patrick Mahomes,
yes, the Kansas City quarterback. So I think that's the only reason you're seeing Tyreek Hill lower, because he blew up in fantasy points last year. He's definitely a big threat. Same with Adam Thielen. I believe the Minnesota Vikings are also changing their quarterback.
Yeah, they have, who did the, Keenum, is it?
No, I believe Keenum, oh no, yeah.
Yeah, he played for the Rams, and then the Vikings picked him up, didn't they? Or did they sign Cousins?
He went to Washington, and now he's in Minnesota, and I believe Cousins is somewhere else. I could have that backwards.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins. That's who Minnesota picked up.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins and Trevor Siemian right now are on Minnesota, and then...
Trevor Siemian, what a disaster. But yeah, and then you have someone like Allen Robinson, who got traded this year, going to Chicago. Another team with a young quarterback in Mike Trubisky.
Yes.
That's why I think you're seeing these people at these stages.
And then you had, you know, speaking of the QBs from Minnesota, you had Sam Bradford go to the Cardinals.
That's what
And then they draft Josh Rosen. So you got all these, like, potential big-name quarterbacks backing up rookies, probably.
Yeah. It's kind of I think wild. It's going to be a weird quarterback situation, especially since what the Eagles did with having Carson Wentz in there, and then... him going down and having Nick Foles come in and step up. I think you're going to see a lot of teams go, hey, we this day and age, we need two quarterbacks. We need a quarterback that can get you through into the playoffs. You can't bank on your like the other team's quarterback going down. Oh, this is going to be – if they pull it together, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So you never know.
So – and this just goes into how deep this list goes. You know, some of these next names that we're looking at, you got Jerick McKinnon, Joe Mixon, who I think can have a big year this year. You got Jordan Howard, another person that can have a big year. Julian Edelman, although now has the 4-game suspension. Ashlon Jeffrey, who might be looking to have a big year. Do you think Philly's going to have a hangover?
I would like to say no, but with that shitty city, I could see it being bad.
Definitely see it happening. Juju Smith-Schuster, who was on the... E3 debut of the Madden game today. It was pretty cool to see him on there. And then Amari Cooper at 42. And then just some of the other names that you happen to see as I scroll down this list. You still got Jarvis Landry, Melvin Jones Jr., Mark Ingram, Duke Johnson Jr., Michael Crabtree, Brandon Cooks. You know, you still have amazing names on this list. Sammy Watkins at 67. Sorry, Greg Olsen at 73. You know, now we're getting into some of these tight ends that you're going to see.
Let me throw this up there again now that I saw his name on the list, who is absolutely low, is Will Fuller. As soon as he gets Deshaun Watson back, I swear to you, he is going to explode.
So is that a player that you think would be big pickup?
I will have him next season. 100% guarantee he's someone I'm picking.
I'm going to take him first overall.
No, you're not.
other than that, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of players on here that can have big, big impacts that you can pick up late in your draft if you were doing a auction draft. Definitely don't worry if some of these players are going for big money early on. Or actually, don't worry if you got to spend some big money early on. Really, this would be a year that if you got to spend that $50 out of a $200 auction draft to get that big superstar, you're going to have money to get players later. But also, I'm always a conservative spender when I do those. You wait, let some of these big names get by, and you can have just a power team.
Yeah, because you're going to have more money to overbid anybody. Because like at the beginning, I I'd say the first 20 picks are going to be between $30 and $50 on a $200 draft. So your first 20 picks are ranging between $30 to $50. That's where it's going to be. You're going to have two superstars on whatever team. But you get down to the end, say you didn't do anything for those first 20.
Now you got a lot of big playmakers, especially if some injuries occur.
Yeah, now you're getting people coming up, and as much as they want to bid as $15, bid 16. You got that guy. Oh, you already have both your running backs now? You've only spent $32? Okay, well, they're putting up a third running back who's going to be a pretty good, you know, asset.
Now you got your flex.
Yeah, now overbid them on that one.
You could
$14.
Have, yeah, you. It's going to be a good year for fantasy at the end of the day, so I'm pretty excited about it. Other than the fantasy football thing, we were all excited watching the Stanley Cup this year.
Absolutely.
I know we definitely, I wanted to personally see the Golden Knights win. I have officially declared them as my second team, so as this podcast goes on, you will hear me talk about them and the Blues. The Blues will always be number one, but I guess I did a good job at picking a second team because they also let me down. But no other team probably deserved it the way the Caps did.
Yeah, I agree. Let me go ahead and add something to you. Having the Vegas Knights and the Blues as your favorite teams, both teams are expansion teams that made it to the Cup their first year and lost.
Didn't win it. So neither of them are ever going to win a
single. Yeah. But back to it. I have not declared a second team. I am looking at a second team. I do like the Knights a lot. I don't want to choose the Caps just because they just won, and I'm not a bandwagon guy. So,
although I have liked the Caps. I've been an Ovechkin fan.
That's how I am.
And I liked Oshie when he was on the team, too. So we were both in that position where we weren't going to be mad at the outcome.
Right.
I just was kind of pulling.
And I said that a few podcasts ago. I did not care who won the Cup because did I not say Vegas Capitals in, like, the first round?
Oh, yeah.
That's who I want is Caps Vegas. And they made it. They did it, and then I don't give a shit. I made $20 betting it, so I'm happy with that. But the Caps deserved it so much more than Vegas.
Oh, for sure.
Just seeing him pick up that cup and stroll through and just be so excited with his missing teeth, Ovi just showing the fucking power. He was just a stud out there.
Yeah, and if you don't live under a rock and you watch Twitter or Instagram in any way, shape, or form, Ovi and the Caps are just all over it, parading the Stanley Cup through the MGM Grand, you know, all the wild shit that he's been doing keg stands out of the cup, all kinds of stuff. Shout out to PFT commenter who got to drink from the cup. He called it Caps year, said it for a long time, so I'm happy for those guys. You know, they're big influences on us. One of the reasons that we wanted to start the podcast, so we're happy to see all those guys in a good mood. And so congratulations to the Caps. You guys definitely deserved it.
Also, shout out to that sniper who was showing her tits whenever Ovi was carrying the cup around the rink. I just had to bring that up. I thought that was the funniest fucking thing ever.
Oh, yeah. It was fucking hilarious.
That's dope.
Nicole and I were at the gym the other day doing cardio, and she looked up and watched it, and she just started dying laughing.
They showed it on TV?
Well, yeah, blurred, well, they edited it, but they were showing it, talking about it like, oh, God.
Yeah, that should be the thing every year. Whatever team wins the cup.
Tits out for the cup.
Yeah.
Tits out for Stanley.
There you go, Stanley.
Next story I wanted to talk about in the NHL was the Blues are looking to do some spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty excited for the names that I'm seeing on this list right now. So they definitely want to add a center to the lineup to kind of help with things. They got John Tavares, which would be an amazing addition. You have Joe Thornton, which is an amazing playmaker. However,
I believe that's all based off contract for Joe Thornton, correct?
Yes, it is based off certain stipulations for Joe Thornton. And he is an amazing playmaker. My big thing is right now, I want guys that can make, score the fucking...
I want
goal scorers.
You want goal scorers, yes.
And Joe Thornton would definitely improve any team he goes to, but, you know, John Tavares, I think, would be the ultimate pickup. We need some just goal-scoring motherfuckers on our team. We got some playmakers, and although having a veteran like Joe Thornton on there making playmakers, one of my biggest things that I always criticize the Blues on, that I freak out about, not that I could do any better, you know, I'm not a pro hockey player, but, and I've noticed in the past couple years, it's definitely gotten better since Yao took over, was their passing. Their passing, I always have believed, been one of the Blues' weakest points, was just passing the puck through traffic. And it seems like in the past couple years they've gotten better. Joe Thornton would even probably approve on that, and you'll see that when I talk over some of their stats here in a little bit. But John Chavares is who I prefer. Some of the other names getting thrown out there might get Paul Stastny back in free agency.
I would love to get Paul Stastny back.
I would like to, too, especially after the year that he had out there in Winnipeg. Hopefully he can bring some of that back. And the final name that I saw, there are some other names, but these were the big four, would be Tyler Bozak, and that could be, he could be a cap issue for Toronto, so that could be a little bit of a cheaper pickup where, you know, if we weren't able to get John Chavares, maybe you get a Joe Thornton and a Tyler Bozak would be a couple great additions to the team. So looking over some of their stats last year, Tavares last year had 37 goals and 47 assists for a total of 84 points. 37 goals.
I'd like to have 37 goals added to the Blues lineup.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be pretty good.
I believe that Tarasenko ended the season with 34.
Yeah, up there. So if you had another person that could put those kind of numbers on the board,
yeah,
that would be amazing. Next, Joe Thornton. Now, this is where I say he would improve any team he goes on. I want to see a goal scorer, but it's hard to argue with some of these numbers. If he can get, maybe make the plays for Tarasenko or some of the other players. Joe Thornton last year, only 27 goals, 96 assists for a total of 123 points in the season. So he has 40 more points than Tavares, but I want somebody that can make that goal. We got the people that can do it. However, I say we always struggle with the pass, and that's where I say if you can get somebody else that can score some goals, you know, Joe Thornton might definitely help that.
I would say that you're looking for somebody to be more of a passer than a goal scorer. You're looking for a team player.
Well, we have team players. What we lack is the ability to just score when we have to score. Okay. We have so many games where we needed just one fucking goal, and we just can't get the fucking goal. Or it seems like, you know, everybody just shuts down Tarasenko, and nobody else can step up and make the goal. And it's a struggle. And then people will sit there and dog Tarasenko about it, but nobody else is stepping up and making the goals.
Right.
You got the playmakers, but when they shut down Tarasenko and nobody can make a play to themselves, nobody's making a play to each other and scoring the goal.
Right.
We got people that can play the game.
Because we have other people that come up and show up, but it's, I get what you're saying. It's like when they shut one of them down, the whole team collapses under it.
And if you had somebody else to either expand the lines, or even if you had an insane deadly line like Tavares and Tarasenko on the same line, it would be disgusting.
Right.
So you have that, you know, Paul Stastny last year had 16 goals with 30 assists for 53 points. And then he also had 15 points in the postseason with 6 goals. And then Tyler Bozak was 11 goals and 32 assists with 43 points total, 2 goals and 2 assists in the postseason. So my big hope is that they can pick up a Tavares. But, you know, if they could pick up a Joe Thornton and a Paul Stastny, that would be pretty cool,
I'd
too.
I'd be okay with that, especially since Paul Stastny was a former Blue. It wouldn't be much of a transition getting him back in the lineup.
And it would definitely be cool for us to have Thornton jerseys on, sit next to your buddy, Tim,
yeah,
who's a big Sharks,
Sharks fan. Yeah.
So, that would be pretty cool. Those are my stories on the NHL.
The Sharks, though. I'm just going to go ahead and put that
for
in
sure.
there.
Did you
fuck
have
the Sharks, Tim.
Fuck the Sharks. Do you have anything to add on top of NHL news?
No, we hit it right at the beginning about the Caps. However, I will say it sucks. As we said earlier, the season is over, and my life is dwindling away with no hockey, NFL, or anything.
So we need you guys to listen to the podcast and give our lives some sort of meaning.
Right, because we're going to be really, really working for the next NHL and NFL news for the next few weeks, since neither are actually going
since
on.
Since neither of them are going on, we're going to be relying heavily on rumors and internet speculation. So now that we got that covered, we will go ahead and jump into some other stories that we happen to hear about this week that just made us say, wow.
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 So, Austin, what is the story that you heard this week that made you say, wow?
Well, let me just tell you, this is a wow of courage, a wow of your will to live.
A story for the ages.
Story for the ages, about a crayfish.
It can be a Disney story, maybe.
It could. It honestly could. And it would be, because it has kind of like a dark spot to it, where it's like, oh, but it's actually like really nice. And it happened in China.
Okay.
And crawfish, you know what a crawfish is. They got claws, little clampy clamps.
Yeah.
Well, they boiled them alive like they do most seafood.
Most shellfish.
Yeah, shellfish. Thank you. They dropped all of them in the pot, and one of them got his claw out and clamped the, like, lever to the pot and pulled himself up, while another one clamped his other clamp, and that one had died, and it had a death grip on his other claw, and he pulled himself up to the side of the pot. There is a video. I'll post it on our page. He pulls himself to the side of the pot, gets his legs over it, and looks back at it and tries to pull his hand out, and he can't, and he just cuts his own fucking arm off. And then crawls over and lands on the table and just looks around. And the dude, the cook, said, for him to show the power of will to live as a human, I refuse to cook this crawfish. He put a petition saying he would not work there until that crawfish was released or stayed alive. They bought its own aquarium. And it now is a pet of the restaurant that no one is allowed to eat. And they have its claw on, like, kind of like a mantle above his...
This is kind of crazy.
It is crazy. It's just crazy that it puts in perspective that animals have the will to live, the people have. Like, when you see animals, you think about hunting, killing squirrels, deers, all that stuff. That's just the normal stuff that happens, yada, yada, yada. You're used to it. But to actually see an animal fight for itself and sacrifice its own arm to try and stay alive, every other crawfish in there didn't even fight. You see them drop them in there, and they're all just in this one, he's fucking swimming through
them. Just a soldier.
Yeah.
You think when he's in that aquarium now and they bring in crawfish to cook, he's just going to be like, y'all, pussy-ass crawfish.
Probably, but he's in one of his own. He has his own, like, little thing.
Yeah.
So he sees them in the tank across from him, like, y'all motherfuckers are going to die.
You think it is also kind of horrifying that he's just sitting there watching people, like, eat all his homies? He's just like, you think he'll have survivor guilt?
Ooh, maybe, yeah.
Takes his own life in the aquarium for being the only
survivor. That would be pretty wild, actually. I didn't even think about it like that. I wonder if they're going to put some in there with him.
It's funny. Let me tell a story about how terrible of a person our dad is, because it kind of reminds me of this. Okay. Talk about how that crawfish showing the will to live. Dad told me a story one time about how he was fishing out on a lake, bass fishing, and out of his boat, probably from when he had it in storage, a little mouse crawled out. So he's like, oh, what the fuck? He grabs a mouse and pitches it out into the lake. He watches that little mouse swim all the way from the center of the lake. And so he starts following it. And this little thing just does its little mouse paddle probably 400 yards.
What is miles to a mouse?
Miles to a mouse. And he said even as they got towards the coast, he would see this little mouse kind of go under just a little bit. And then come back up and swim a little more. And he said by the time he'd go under more and more because he was getting tired. And he said, finally, this mouse made it all the way to the bank and crawled up out of that water. And Dad pulled his boat over there. And he said he just saw the mouse crawl up on land and just lay there, just breathing, just surviving. So he jumps out of the boat and grabs it and throws it back.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah, God damn it, Dad.
He was like, yeah, that little motherfucker swam for miles and finally made it up there. So I just stared at him for a little bit. We could just let him go, but he's like, nah. Grabs that motherfucker. Don't you get in my boat.
Tosses him back into the lake. I was just about to say, to see that empathy out of Dad is wild, because I will add another dad story real fast. We were out at Uncle Wayne's in Silex. We were driving on the side of the road, and Dad just slams on the fucking brakes on gravel. We slide to a stop. He reaches down. He pulls out his revolver that is in the car. I believe it's a .45. And he leans out the window, and I finally look over, and there's a chipmunk just on the side of the road that Dad almost just smoked, and it's just sitting there fearing for itself. And Dad just blew it away. Just gone. Just gonzo. Just nothing left. And Dad puts the gun down, chuckles, and we go. Just kept going. Not even like a word said anything to me. Just nothing at all.
That is fucking wild.
Dude, wild man that guy
is. I'm surprised he didn't need it, though, because we've had chipmunk before.
No, he just blasted it. Right on the side of the road.
So, yeah. Our dad's not... I mean, he's the greatest dad of all time.
He got a turkey out a window one time.
But yeah, I know. And then he had to let it go because it was going to fucking kill him.
Yeah.
But, so, the little crawfish that could was your story. My story is going to kind of fall into the NFL a little bit, and this is a topic that a lot of people are split on, is the anthem kneeling. So I saw something that Donald Trump is offering presidential pardons to end the anthem kneeling. So we've all heard about the new NFL rule. Let's go.
Yeet.
And basically, if somebody's not going to be standing, they got to stay in the locker room, or there's going to be big fines, yada, yada, yada. Well, Donald Trump still doesn't like that. He doesn't want them to have a reason to be in the locker room. He wants everybody to want to be on that field and want to be standing. So he said, you know, basically from what he understood, or from what I'm understanding, the protesting, which has always been peaceful, although I admit personally that it's not in a taste that I enjoy, you know, I understand why they're protesting. They feel that their country has an injustice that isn't being addressed, and I feel like Donald Trump is finally addressing it a little bit rather than just being like, shut the fuck up and go sit in the locker room if you're not going to stand. You know, I want to see them standing, you know. I understand why they're doing it. I don't like that they're doing it, but we get it. So there's been interviews with like NBA players and stuff like that asking, you know, why aren't you having this issue here? And players have even said that the NBA owners and the NBA as an organization shows a lot more interest in the issues that the players are wanting to take a stand on rather than just how the NFL's dealing with it and saying, well, if you're not going to do this, just go in here. They're not addressing, instead of saying, we don't want you doing this, if you're not going to do it, you're going to get in trouble. Instead of doing it, say, why would you want to do that? And then when they say, this is why, address the situation. And that's what I believe Trump is getting ready to start doing. So he doesn't like the rule about the locker rooms. He wants all the people out there. And from what I believe he was quoted as saying, what I think I'm going to do is have a lot of people in the NFL in particular that aren't proud enough to stand for our national anthem. I'm going to ask those people to recommend to me people that they think were unfairly treated by the justice system, and I'm going to ask them to recommend to me people that were unfairly treated, friends of theirs, people that they know, stuff like that. And he's going to look at these applications. He's going to set up a committee and sit there and, you know, look into these people, and if they find that some of these people were truly treated unfairly, that are either incarcerated or have some negative things against them, that he will either pardon them or look into what he has to do to change what happened to them as a result of a bias or an unfair legal system. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm not saying any president has ever been perfect, but everybody sits there and bashes Donald and all this stuff like that. But you have a president now that's saying, hey, I don't want to just say, you know, stop crying, shut the fuck up, which is what a lot of people do, which I don't believe is right either. He's saying, okay, the reason that you guys are kneeling is this. Let's see if we can fix that problem, which is the big thing that people don't understand. And that's one thing that I don't like in the world today, that everybody, you know, if your opinion's different, then you're fucking wrong, or you're an idiot, or you're a libtard, or you're a racist conservative, and it gets fucking out of control.
Nobody
can just literally debate or talk anymore without getting friendly. I was in a debate with somebody at work the other day, and literally every time they're like, I'm not trying to let, I was like, no, have your own opinion.
Get your attack, just like when people listen to me and you argue, people get so like uncomfortable when me and you argue because
Nicole left the bar one time because she thought I was, she's like, you're being a fucking asshole to him. I was like, no, I'm not. And she was like, you guys are just sitting there fighting. I was like, we're not fighting. It's called a heated discussion. I feel like I'm right and he fucking feels like he's right. And at the end of this, one of us is either going to agree, or if it literally comes to a point, we'll literally sit there and be like, that's fucking stupid, and just shake our head. But at the end of the day, I respect your ability to have
that opinion. I would not ever say, no, you're wrong, you're an idiot. I would go, I believe that your opinion is wrong, even though I'd probably word it like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, throughout the discussion, we may say that, but that's not what we mean. At the end of the day, you are, there's plenty of things that we disagree on that you are welcome to have your opinion on it, and that's fine.
Like, for, when the day happens where we actually have a heated argument on this mic for people to hear, that's going to be exciting, because I'm sure when they hear this go, I'm sure they have good arguments. You fuck wait, because it gets bad. So
we're literally sitting there, you're a fucking idiot. Then we're all just trying to out-Google each other on the information that we're arguing about, and it just gets wild. But, you know, I found it really interesting that we have this president amidst, you know, all the shit going on with North Korea and meetings and all the Russian bullshit you see on the news, all the shit you see on the news, and just all this shit that he's got to do, that he is honestly saying, like, hey, rather than just tell you guys to shut up and, you know, you're fucking just shut up and play football, or you're making millions of dollars, what are you complaining about? He's saying, not just, this is what we want you to do. If you're not going to do it, go sit and time out in the locker room. He's saying, why are you doing this?
Let's fix
it. I'm sorry you feel that way. Let's see what we can do to change that. And so that, to me, is commendable. So say what you want. I feel like that's a really cool story that we have a president right now that's honestly looking to, instead of, he wants to end it, and the people that don't like it, maybe instead of just saying fuck those guys or boycotting shit, maybe you should open up your minds and also look at the issues and maybe consider, you know, maybe some people have been fucking treated unfairly and we need to look into it. So that's my wow story.
Wow. And
as something that the president did, I commend it. But let's take a minute to talk about things that we would do if we were the president.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, Austin, you've just been elected president of the United States.
Yes.
I want to know what you're going to fucking do.
Okay. Well, in my last speech, I went ahead and said, fuck everyone. We're going to make the speed limits, whatever. In this one, I'm going to say, don't fuck everyone.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm tired of people dying. Wars aren't going to be fought with people anymore.
Okay.
Wars are now virtual reality.
Okay.
I'm going to make all the skilled gaming companies that we have in the United States through the UN. We're going to use China and Japan, Korea, and everyone in Korea. We're going to use everyone to make a central VR device that will simulate a real world simulation of a war. You choose, let's say, 100 people per country. The wars are fought out on the VR. So you're no longer having people going from land to kill each other. You're doing it all virtually, and you have to follow through. If you don't, the entire UN goes against you. You are following.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's going to happen when somebody's like, fuck this game, bomb them.
Well, you're going against war rules then, kind of like what they have now. Like, you can no longer do, like, the stake posts or anything like that. If you're caught using stake posts in war, you, like, everyone, like, even your allies turn on you. Like, you're not allowed to do it anymore. You're not allowed to use, like, what was it that the Nazis used? Mustard gas. That is outlaw. You can't, if another group uses a biochemical like that, they're...
There have been countries that have used biochemical weapons that we end up
bombing.
But
they weren't like what they did before. They said it falls under a different category. That's how they avoid it. But saying, nah, fuck these guys and just start killing people, that, then you're obviously disobeying the rules. It's all VR. We're switching to games. We're keeping people alive.
It's at least going to be a step before we go to full on.
Yeah. It can be settled here. If you guys don't want to do that, then I guess let's really fight. But it's a step to try and get rid of that.
Just try to save actual lives.
Yes.
I gotcha. Well, if I were president, I had this idea the other day. I would create a system where the food industry companies can bring their either older or unused foods that are either about to be soiled or they're, you know, maybe the expiration date's, you know, past due or whatever. And for a write-off or some sort of compensation, they bring it to this facility. Now, this facility is where the homeless or the disabled can come and do tasks in order to earn meals. If, you know, possibly... You know, I don't understand why they don't just get full-blown jobs, but if it's a matter of they just need something for meals, they could, you know, it could be something as literally like, yo, you bring in a bag of trash and you get a meal. And they have all this food that was going to just be straight up thrown away. But now you have an opportunity where, you know, you have the homeless can go do a simple task. It's literally, you come here, you get one of our bags, you go out, you fill it up with fucking trash, and you bring it back. Now, I don't know. Not all the kinks are worked out, because if I were a homeless people, I'd just take that bag and just walk to a dumpster somewhere and fill it up with trash from the dumpster and come back. But, you know,
you're cheating your own system.
Yeah, right? I'm cheating the own system. And that's where even me and Nicole were sitting about talking about, I was trying to think of a way to make it viable. But it's an idea. I feel like you could create an idea like this somehow.
What you should do is make it a recycling bag only, to where they can only pick up cans, styrofoam, and plastic.
But we still have a lot of just bullshit trash. That's
I know, but recycling things would be more beneficial and money efficient, because the places that are providing the foods are going to have a place where they're getting the money from and going through recycling, like, industries.
What money do they have to be getting?
To make the food, the people making the food for the homeless people?
Yeah, but that could all just
That's what I'm saying. If they're doing it through a recycling thing, you can get paid for that recycling. So the recycling that the homeless people bring into them will pay for the meals that they're giving to the homeless people.
I gotcha.
That's where I'm fucking thinking economically for you, bud.
So yeah, basically a system where instead of just throwing food away, you make it available for people who might not have jobs or the ability to get good meals, and they can do something that's also productive to society so that food's not being wasted. People are being productive, and they're getting fed.
I will say, I got two stories, both short. Do you remember when we were in Springfield, Missouri, and that dude was standing outside?
Yeah, and I gave him a business card and said, you will have a job tomorrow if you call this number.
Yes. Then, also, do you remember when we were working in the Del Mar Loop and we went to the gas station that sold the banger ass fried chicken with the honey rolls?
Yeah, and that dude tried to mug you?
No, that was because the blues, that was a different story, but... Same gas station, the dude came up and washed my windshield.
Oh, yeah.
When you were there. And he literally was a homeless dude and walked up to me and I was pumping my gas and he went, but I'm going to do something for you. And I was like, oh, that's a terrifying thing to hear as a 20-year-old. And then he goes, I'm going to wash your truck. I'm like, what? And he literally went over to the thing where you get the squeegee.
Yep.
And he washed all the windows around my truck, did all that. He got down. Pulled out of his backpack a spray bottle, washed all my rims, did all that shit. I got done gassing the truck up, and he looks at me and goes, all I need is a dollar. I gave him 20. Fuck. Dude, you came over and showed me you're willing to work. I'm going to give you something. Like, if you're sitting on the street just begging, there's a good chance I'm not going to give you anything. That dude walked up to me in a public place, told me he's going to clean my truck, and he fucking did it. I'm giving that dude some cash.
That's where I actually saw a video on LiveLeak the other day where there was this dude gassing up. Yeah, and this dude was gassing up, and another dude comes up and asks him for change. He's like, I actually got like $5, man. If you want to clean my wheels, I got the stuff all right here. You can clean my wheels. I'll give you $5. The guy's like, bro, I was just trying. He's like, you're not trying to work for it? Some other random guy who's not even homeless walks up. He goes, you're going to pay $5 to clean your wheels? And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, fuck, I'll clean your wheels. And some other random guy cleans the dude's wheels for $5. Homeless guy's just standing there being like, man, this fucked up. He goes, what do you mean it's fucked up? He goes, I work for my fucking money, and this dude's right here working for his money.
Yeah.
And he was like, you want something to eat? I understand that. Do something, and I'll give you plenty of money to fucking eat.
Right. No, so, and motherfucker. That's how it is.
And that's where I feel like there's a lot of us trapped right now. There's a lot of bad stigma against the millennial generation. But I tell you right now, I met many old motherfucking people that are just as lazy and pieces of shits as anybody else. And there's a lot of us caught in the middle that have a lot of ideas. But same thing with the media and the way the world is right now. Everything's being so ripped apart and divided that there's those in the middle that are just like, why do we get... What the fuck are we doing here?
Right.
Yeah, like, what are we doing?
And it's weird when you say, like, they say millennials are lazy pieces of shit, because, like, I think I'm a lazy piece of shit.
Oh, I'm not saying I'm,
But we're not.
Yeah, like, I'm a productive member of society.
Right, like...
I don't bitch. I understand when bad things happen, it's because I made a poor choice or I was kind of lazy.
Right, because we still get up every morning and go to work and do our things. We make sure we do the stuff we gotta do, even though, like, we come home and sometimes we don't go to the gym when we wanted to, or we don't clean up that, like, we don't vacuum that day, or we wait and we push something off a little to the side that makes you feel like a lazy piece of shit, but when you can compare yourself to other people out there doing things, you realize you're really not.
Yeah, or if there's something I don't like about my life, I don't bitch and say it should be given to me. I fucking do what I gotta do. Like, you know, since you turned me on to Barstool, those dudes are fucking successful and they do all kinds of cool shit. I see people that make tons of money. At the same time, I know, yeah, there's a lot more shit I could do to make myself more money or get famous or get in the perfect shape. And anything that's not the way I want it is because I am not putting forth enough effort.
Right.
But I'm not gonna be the person that says I should just be able to have this because other people have more than they need.
The entitled problem is what the biggest problem is, with people thinking that they just deserve the things that they want because of just because is what's wrong. You want something, do what you got to do to go get it.
Yeah. And that's where I got into it with a guy at work the other day where I was talking about, you know, people that we know that make money on YouTube and gaming and stuff like that.
Start
he
was making
like,
fucking videos.
He was like, oh, everybody just wants to be a YouTuber, fucking entitled millennials. I said, you realize the people that make those videos and do that stuff probably work 15 to 18 hours a day, not only recording or playing the games, but then editing and putting out content and being socially interactive and stuff like
that. Consistently getting people's
every
attention.
Every fucking day. And I was like, and you think it's just them not doing anything.
Right.
And I'm like, you're fucking retarded. And not only that, you call them all a bunch of dumb kids and stuff, but they found a way to literally play video games and make millions of dollars while you're fucking at work bitching about your job.
Right.
So who's fucking sounds stupid?
Yeah, who's being the dumb one?
Yeah. So that pretty much sums that up. Let's go ahead and jump into this week's conspiracy theories.
Weird shit happens all the time. Every single day of our lives, people with crazy brains think of things that could go haywire. We all hear about them, these things known as conspiracy theories. And Gavin, I want to know one that was catching your eye of recent.
So I read this one last night as I was putting together my notes, and I thought it was super interesting. This is a theory that Mother Teresa was a secret agent for America.
Okay, let's go America.
It is true that she was virtually untouchable, you know, almost a sacred figure. I mean, everybody talks about Mother Teresa, how she was like the most perfect person ever. But a lot of people are saying there's some things around her that kind of seem sketchy. This one kind of suggests that Mother Teresa was actually an American undercover agent working to prevent the Soviets from spreading their influence in India during the Cold War. And her work with the poor kind of provided like a good cover for slipping messages in and out to the U.S. And they said basically she did so well and succeeded in preventing like India to become a big battleground during the Cold War that the U.S., with their influence in the Vatican, got her beatified, I guess it's called, basically became like somebody with the church. And then, so basically she was just like this person that they sent over there to kind of play the role of peacekeeper and spread love and just kind of keep the war away from this area because they didn't want it to get involved. And that allowed America to handle the war they needed to be handled without getting in the mess of India during that time. So basically, like, can you imagine, can you also imagine, like, times where she was, like, keep almost, like, she, you know, she's feeding the poor and keeping the peace and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, if anything happened to come in, like, her, like, some nights just going out and assassinating a couple motherfuckers to the wrong part of town.
What we should really look into is, like, popular figures who had died around the time she was around.
Really popular figures, but just, like,
Influential,
you know, war,
figures.
You know, military people for the other side
that
may have
come
up missing around India.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people who were influential to the wars that were going on at the time, she may have had a part in it.
So, Mother Teresa, a.k.a. American Batman, in India, was what I thought was a pretty cool conspiracy theory. What about you?
Me, there's this novel. You know, I actually learned about this in high school. And I thought it was pretty interesting. There's a novel called Futility, and it's about a boat called the Titan.
Okay.
And in this book, the ship Titan sinks.
Okay.
Now, this book came out 14 years before the Titanic.
Ooh, Titan.
Actually
Titanic?
Happened.
Ooh.
Now, let me just give you a couple comparisons that are eerily weird.
Kind of strange.
So, in Futility, the boat, Titan, name is pretty close to Titanic.
Pretty, I mean, yeah, it's...
In the book, the Titan was known to be the largest boat...
At the time?
At the time, measuring in at 25 meters long. The same meters as the Titanic.
Oh, shit!
The Titan was described as an unsinkable ship, but it was struck by an iceberg in April.
It was struck by an iceberg, or it struck
an iceberg? It struck an iceberg.
Gotcha. In April. That would be a wild difference, some iceberg just coming through. Full send.
It's full send from Antarctica. But no, it struck an iceberg in mid-April. Titanic hit an iceberg mid-April.
That ain't no fool either.
Both boats were capable of speeds over 20 knots were the first boats of their time to do it. One, in the book written, and then the Titanic actually... did it. Despite having thousands of passengers on board, they only had enough life vests on the Titanic for 2,000 people, and in the book, it had for 2,200 people.
Very close. So Titanic even cut a few more out?
Yeah, the Titanic even cut a few more out. Now, the book Futality is actually not based just on the sink shipping. It's actually about a survival...
The sink shipping?
Yes. Or the ship sinking.
Oh, I thought we were talking about a whole different... I thought we were talking about like a paradox theory now where the book was about a kitchen sink hitting a boat.
That'd be really interesting.
Destroyed in epic fashion.
No, the book is not about the ship sinking. The book is actually about a survivor from the boat that sank.
And
dealing with life, kind of like what we talked about earlier about the crawfish with survivor's remorse, because he has that.
Or like Rose from the movie.
Yes. That's what he deals with in the book. That's what it's about. But in the book, he gives, like, the, you know, the details of the boat. And it just so happened to link up extremely well with the Titanic. So well that there have been people to say that the Titanic was actually built based around the frame of the book. Thus is why they ended up being so similar. It even takes the same path of direction that it does in the book.
Hmm.
So...
What if the Titanic was just, like, a crazy fucking, like... like real life interpretation of the book that they wanted to do, and they were like,
some people say, some people
like
have said that. I literally
did that shit.
When I was reading, that was one of them, because it said that the Titanic was it was meant to happen because they knew that in time it would become such a huge story that it would be something that would be remembered. The book came out, the event happened, a movie came out, it was a bestseller. It just recently lost its box office to the Avatar in what, 2010?
Yes, somewhere
so. They were right, if that was true. So, it was a pretty interesting read. And the whole conspiracy theory on it that I got is that the guy who wrote the book was a time traveler. And he was a part of the Titanic. That's what I have read, that they believe that that man was a guy who survived the Titanic.
Traveled back in time.
Traveled back in time, wrote a book about it, published it. And then it changed the course of history because, say, he traveled into a dimension where it did not happen. He wrote the book. Then people are like, yo, let's make this fucking happen. And then it happens. And he's no longer on that ship. And it completely changes the course of the story. Now go to the movie Titanic. Jack, a guy who's on the boat, who's not labeled on the boat, is actually about the time traveler who was in the original part. Because he doesn't actually have a ticket. It goes really deep. I don't have everything on it, but that was like what I was getting into, how they were tying the movie to the book to the actual event. And you can look it up. It's real interesting.
Wild. Well, that was actually a really good one. That was a lot more interesting than I thought it would be. One thing we might start doing is posting a little bit about some of these conspiracies. I'm gonna get a Twitter set up so you can follow us on there and stuff like that. But let's go ahead and wrap this up with our beer review.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
Okay, so beer review presented to you by 109 Barrels Bar and Grill.
Soon to be known as Barrels Tap House, located at Highway Inn and Highway K in O'Fallon, Missouri. Great food, awesome people. Stopping for a good time.
I'll get it eventually. You'll get it. I'm so used to the original name, it fucks with me. So today we're doing the O'Fallon STL Red. It's a red ale. Comes in a standard brown bottle as usual. It's modeled after the St. Louis Cardinals. On the back it says, "We love beer with the arch behind it with baseball stitching all around the bottle."
A very Cardinals vibe.
Yeah, it's red and blue with baseball around it. It's 5.6% alcohol. For me, I'm a big beer lover. I love almost all kinds of beer. This is a good one for me. This is one I would get if they have it on tap anywhere. If I'm having a burger or I'm having wings, I would get this just as much as I would get a standard domestic like Bud Light, Blue Moon, Coors Light. If they had this there, that would be my choices of ones to get.
This would be one that if I ordered it trying to try something, I would definitely drink it, but it's not one I would probably order just because of my own personal taste. There are reds that I definitely like. I'm surprised I don't like them more being as Irish than I am.
I am surprised you don't.
But for whatever reason, there's a select type of red that I really enjoy. I had one at Friendship Brewing Company not long ago, and I loved it. I was all over it. But it is hard for me to find a red that I really, really love. Not saying this one's bad by any means, but with my own particular taste, it's a little heavier of a red, and I kind of like the lighter side.
No free ads, but have you had the Hatrix Red?
I have. Theirs isn't bad.
Okay. This one reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah.
This one.
And that one I feel like even is a little lighter, but that one even isn't one I would get all the time.
See, I get that every time I get it.
Yeah. And like I said, I personally prefer a little bit lighter, but it is not bad by any means. So if you are somebody who thoroughly loves red ales, definitely check out the STL Red O'Fallon Brewery beer.
Nope. They're definitely up there. They're a good one.
Well, this is our fifth pre-recording. We hope you guys have enjoyed them so far. We're really trying to improve them every time. We're trying to keep them between an hour and a half, and we're kind of right in that middle ground now. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a good weekend, and we will talk to you guys later.
Yay!
Inside the pocket of a clown. It's a sad place to hang around. Just watching smiles turn into frowns.